talking about spiritual worship, and I want to head into the next topic here in spiritual worship. So we're going to continue on this theme for a little bit longer. And I'm going to preach on something I've never preached on before. So in all my... How long has it been? 23 years of ministry. I don't think I've preached on this, so... It's new. No, it's not new. Anyways, we'll look at that. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together. We ask that you bless this time, bless your word. And Lord, may our hearts be attuned to it, be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit, and respond obediently. Lord, we pray for those who aren't here yet with us, that you bring them, or that they might fellowship with us yet today. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship and corporate worship. In the context of corporate worship, there are many things that we do together. We gather together to hear the word preached. We pray together. And what else do we do together here? It's another act of worship that we do together here. Anyone in the back? Yes? Sing. Thank you very much. So singing. I'm going to talk today about singing and music. Like I said, the topic that I don't think I've preached much on. So, and I'm not one who goes around and has a series of sermons on music. But I do think I'm qualified to speak on music. So, we're going to talk about music today. And a true worshiper will sing unto the Lord. A true worshiper will sing unto the Lord. When we talk about singing or music, what passages of Scripture come to your mind? And I want to start with the young folks. What passages of Scripture come to your mind? Anyone college age or younger can answer this question. The Psalms? Why the Psalms? Because they're songs. Okay, so the Psalms are songs. What are the scriptures come to mind regarding our singing or music? Matthew, you fit the age category. Any scriptures that come to mind? What's that? Which says... Okay, all right. And that has to do with what we're thinking. That would, I mean, it would fit. How about specifically regarding music? Justice. Any verses coming to mind? That's a good one, yeah. Where is that found? Is it the Old Testament or New Testament? I'm going to really help you out here. What's that? New Testament. Okay. What book? If you fail this question, oh, where have you been? Okay, I preached through the book not long ago. I think there might be something in Colossians also, but because Colossians is a parallel book to Ephesians. Ephesians, thank you, Dad. All right, so Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. What does Ephesians 5:19 say? It begins with the word speaking. And when we talk about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, that speaking in psalms is not rapping, okay? That's not a biblical man. It's, you know, we sing. But speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So there's a verse. Let me give you another one from the Psalms. Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." And so here, a true worshiper will sing unto the Lord. And truly, I believe that singing is probably the highest form of worship or praise. Singing. In the Old Testament, when we talk about singing, and we talk about maybe how important it is or its place in worship, what can you tell me about the Old Testament and singing? Israelites sang? Okay. Okay. There were times that they sang. Okay. Anything else? So we know the Jews sang. That's good. We go a little further. There was a particular group of Jews that were, you know, in charge of the singing. Remember who those were? It was of the tribe of Levi. Specifically, let's narrow it down to a family. He was one of the, probably the sons of Korah. Sons of Korah. Okay. I think Asaph probably was descended down the line. But anyway, and Asaph was one of the psalm writers, or maybe wrote the music for the psalms. But the sons of Korah, and they were of the tribe of Levi, and they were responsible for the singing. In fact, if you remember, when the children of Israel went out to war, or at least like going across the Jordan and went to Jericho, who went first? The singers. They were out in front. It wasn't the tank. I mean, the singers were the Marines. These were the tough guys, okay? We think of singing. I don't know if they were tough guys or whatever, but they were the singers actually led the children of Israel. David was a musician. Of course, now he wasn't of the tribe of Levi, but David was a musician, and he sang. He wrote psalms. And so throughout Scripture, we find singing in the verses that we just are memorizing in Hebrews chapter 2. We've memorized it. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. And who is saying that? It's spoken by the Son of God, singing praises to the Father. Who was the chief musician of heaven? Lucifer. Okay. Scripture seems to indicate that Lucifer, he talks about your pipes, speaking of singing. One of the chief angels before the fall was Lucifer. He sealeth up the sun. You know, he was the beauty of God's creation there. And, of course, being a master musician, he is a master deceiver. And I think there's a lot of deception in music. Now, when we talk about music and worshiping, Ephesians chapter 5, of course, gives us a very good indicator of the direction of our music, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We talk about singing to the Lord. I'm going to first talk about music. What is God-honoring music? And how do you know if the music you're listening to is God-honoring? And how do you know that your standard of music is pleasing to God? I mean, how many standards of music do we have represented in this room today? I guarantee you we have more standards than we have families. Okay? I'm not talking about tastes. I'm just talking about standards. So your standards in music and what you decide and what you choose as far as your music, and in fact, your worship, what is pleasing to God and what makes music either God-honoring or not God-honoring? And these are good questions that you have to answer. And you need to come up with answers to these questions. And if you don't come up with answers to these questions, then you're going to accept someone else's answers. And I will submit to you, you probably already have accepted someone else's answers, if you have not come up with your own, I guess, theology of music, your own definitions and your own standards based upon Scripture. And so what we do, we need to develop what we're looking at as far as the music goes, as far as what we accept and what we engage in. We need to make sure that it fits with Scripture. Now, if we were going to talk about music, what are the parts of music? Let's dissect music for a minute and tell me, what are the parts of music? You say, oh, I know, it's SATB. There's soprano, alto, tenor, and bass, right? No, that's what I'm talking about. What are the parts of music? So who can give me one? Ken.
Melody.
Melody is definitely a part of music, unless you're a monk. Ominous proscopus, but okay. That is one note, okay. Anyway, so melody. Can you define melody? It's the tune. The melody is the tune. When many of you sing music, you will sing music, and if you can't read the parts on the page and you can't sing the harmony, you generally just stay with the majority, and the majority sings the melody. It's the main line of the music. Okay? Now, there are some people who can't even do that. They're tone deaf, or they can't sing, and that's okay. They make a joyful noise to the Lord. But for those who can actually hear the tune and control their voice to match the tune, they'll sing the melody. Beyond that, if you've studied any kind of music, you can actually sing harmony. What is harmony? Well, how would you define harmony, simply put? Okay. I would say that's symphony. What is harmony? It's another line of music which complements the melody. It may not be as pretty. Now, if you're Bach, it has its own melody line. Okay, and that's why the altos always have the most boring part, right? Because sometimes it just doesn't move a whole lot, but there's harmony. Music has melody. It has harmony. Anything else? What?
Tempo.
Rhythm and tempo. What is rhythm? Tim's got rhythm. What is rhythm? How would you define rhythm? Now, this is important, and I know you're saying, what's this got to do with anything? It has a lot to do with what we're talking about, so I just want to make sure we're on the same page, we know what we're talking about. So what is rhythm? You either got it or you don't, right? Rhythm is it's the beat, okay? It's the parameters of the music. It's the parameters of the music, the rhythm. Sometimes music is in 3 beats per measure. It's the meter. A poem has meter, does it not? How many of you, we've all learned poetry. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. That is the rhythm. You see the pattern that it's fitting in? So a rhythm is a pattern that the melody fits into, and it's repeatable. Tempo goes along with rhythm. What is tempo? Tempo is the speed. It's the rate at which you're singing, and that goes along with rhythm. Now, this is good. So we're kind of talking musically here, and that's good. I want you to think musically. Now, when we talk about God-honoring music, when we talk about singing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, there's another aspect of music, and that is what? All right, it's the text, the words.
That's not necessarily part of music.
Yes, not all music has text. Would we agree with that? Well, all music communicates, but I'm not going to talk about that quite yet. Okay, we're talking about parts of music here, and when we meet together congregationally, we sing together. So occasionally, we'll have someone play on the piano, and it's a song usually that you will recognize as a hymn. You might know the words to it, but no words are being sung. Just the music is being played. Text or lyrics. How important are the words or the text of music? Would you say, well, it's, you know, you can live without them, or they're vitally important? If you're singing a song and it has words, how important are the words? Well, the words are absolutely important because it is the message. There's a message in the song. Let's talk about Amazing Grace. You have the tune, and everybody knows the tune, but there are words that are wed with that tune. And when no one can hum da 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 without thinking of the words. We think of the words. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Now, the text. So I want to give you four aspects of music today. Four aspects of music, and each of these aspects or qualities, characteristics of music must be considered, must be weighed and examined, and must be appropriately discerned. First is the text. I'm going to talk about the text. Secondly, I'd like to talk about the melody. Third, I'd like to talk about the rhythm. And when we think about music, not all music has text. All music will have a melody, and there's a rhythm. So it's text, melody, rhythm, and there's one more aspect. And you probably won't be able to think of it. Okay? There's one more aspect of music, and I think this is a very important aspect of music. Now remember, we're talking about music in the context of worship. The context of worship. The fourth item that I'd like us to look at is the artist and the participants. The artist or the one creating the music, and the participants, the ones performing. Now, when I say the word performing, don't freak out and think we're performing here in church. No, we're not. I'm talking about as reading the music, singing it, actually putting it out into audible sounds. And so these aspects of music, text, melody, rhythm, and then artist and participants. Music obviously must be written, and usually we call that person the artist, the composer. And then music must be played or performed. Otherwise, it's just a sheet of paper. Is a sheet of paper music? No, it has to come alive. And we make it come alive by playing it, by singing it. And so there are four aspects. Now, if you think of another aspect of music that you think, hey, I thought of this one, you didn't think about it, please let me know. But as I was thinking about these things, these are the aspects of music that came to mind, each of which we need to analyze and, again, bring to Scripture and to see, hey, how is this, can this be God-honoring? Is there a standard? And what is God-honoring? Now, let me ask you a question. The text of music is designed to target something. The text of music is designed to target what? No. The text of music is not designed to target the feelings. The text is designed and it targets the what? There it is. It targets the mind. Okay? So the text targets the mind. When you sing a song like Amazing Grace or Trust and Obey, the text is there for you to what? Just mumble and not think about what you're singing? No, it's there to target them. It's to make us think about what? Biblical principles. To think about the character of God. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What are we singing? We're singing about the salvation that God has so graciously provided. And it comes from, of course, John Newton, who was a slave trader, who was such a wretch. And he puts that in the song, that saved a wretch like me. And John Newton, after he was saved, never, never lost sight of or took for granted the fact that God had reached down into the mud pit and pulled him out of deep depravity. The text targets the mind. That being the case, we need to watch the text and make sure that it is what? All right. That it is doctrinally correct. We need to make sure that what we sing is orthodox. Now, I am not saying that we can only sing the words of Scripture, and in fact, only King James only text. No. But the words that we sing must be in harmony, in agreement with what Scripture says. In fact, the best hymns, the best songs that we sing, really come straight from Scripture. My absolute favorite all-time work, if I only could have one piece of music, I'd ask for Handel's Messiah. And Handel's Messiah is simply Scripture, put to music. It's God's Word. So the best text that we have is God's Word. And obviously, it's difficult. I've seen people try to take Psalms and put them to music straight out of their English Bibles. Oh, my goodness. The meter doesn't always work. The poetry isn't quite like we have it. And Hebrew poetry is different from ours, and we're not singing the Hebrew poetry. So what do? We take those words, and we will take the meanings of the words and put them in other words. You get a thesaurus out and try to convey the same meaning in a meter that will fit with what we're going to sing. So the text is important. And the text is absolutely important because it's something we sing over and over. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are speaking to ourselves. That's me to you, you to me. We each to one another. We are speaking to ourselves in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, all of these things dealing with Scripture, with the revealed Word of God. Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So the text is of primary importance. If we have a bad text, what's going to happen? Listen, we're just ingraining wrong thinking or wrong doctrine. How many of you have hymn texts pop into your mind during the week? I'd say probably every one of us does. We should. Okay, so the words are very important. The text targets the mind. It makes us think. And our minds are to be engaged in our worship. Why are we singing? What are we singing? To whom are we singing? The text. Remember, it needs to be doctrinally correct because it is didactic. Ooh, do you like that word? Didactic, this means it's teaching. We're teaching. What do kids learn when they, one of the first songs they learn is what? Jesus loves me. Okay? Jesus loves me. And a lot of times kids will learn that song before they memorize any verses out of the Scripture. And we can remember songs easier than we can remember Scripture. But if we can set Scripture to music, it aids in our memory. Now, there's the text. But not all music has text. and that's okay. But all music communicates. The melody, that would be the tune. Hot cross buns. Okay. The melody, it's the tune. If the text targets the mind, what does the melody target? You said emotion, which is part of what does the melody target? Give me biblical terms here. Targets the spirit. The melody targets the spirit of man. Attitude, emotions. Now think about it. The melody targets the emotions. Now, I'm going to do something I usually don't do, but that's okay. We can do this. I'm going to move over to the piano. And I'm going to ask you to listen to what I'm going to play. Whoa, he's moved away from the pulpit. I know, don't freak out. It's okay. We talk about the melody. The melody is designed to target the spirit. Now, we all know this song. It's Jesus Loves Me. I'm going to play it a little bit differently. Listen to me carefully. Now, you say, what was the difference with the second one? Okay, for you musical terminologists, yes, it was minor. Was there a different feeling evoked? Okay. Let's do something else. So that was I went from a major key to a minor key. What if we were to Now, let me ask you a question. Was that different? Okay. What was different about it? It was the same song. It's Jesus Loves Me, right? It sounds what? No, actually, sounds like you're riding a horse through the desert, dude. Okay. Now, I'm not going to sit there and go, I could go through a whole realm and just make you laugh, and it would be funny, but what I want to communicate to you is this. Melody targets the spirit. And this is where we find style. Style. The style of the music. And if you took your hymnals and opened it up, you would find a lot of different styles of music. How about, well, I should just preach the message over here from the piano. Different styles of music. How about this song right here? Okay. What style is that? It's a marching song. It's a rouse to battle. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. If you're wanting to go to sleep at night, you do not put your headphones on and turn on, stand up for Jesus, because you're trying to lie down for Jesus, right, and go to sleep. It's a different style. Does it have an effect? Yeah. And when a song leader gets up, what does he usually say right before you sing stand up for Jesus? What? Let's all stand together as we sing. It just doesn't seem right to sing stand up for Jesus sitting in your seats, right? Now, that's a style. There's a style. It is a has a marching bass. It has a military type of a tune. That's a style. There are some hymns that are very soothing. Okay. When I was a kid, and I don't know, some of you will know who I'm talking about. I had a little record player that folded up, the speakers kind of folded in, and then the turntable dropped down like a, you could carry it like a briefcase. And I would put, when I was sick, when I didn't feel well, there was one record that I loved to put on, and it was Harold DeCoo playing the organ and playing hymns. And I could just go to sleep listening to that. It's very soothing, very comforting. When you think of a hymn that is soothing or comforting, someone give me a name of a hymn that you find soothing or comforting. Da, 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 da. Very smooth. Okay. Now that's the melody. How about another one? Near the Cross. Yeah, that's a very slow and thoughtful melody, isn't it? Now, there's lots of music that is slow and thoughtful, and not just hymns. Who wrote this? That? Beethoven. It's the middle movement of the Sonata Pathetique. And that's a beautiful, comforting, soothing melody, is it not? That melody right there communicates to your spirit. It communicates with your attitude. And this is why you say, well, you know, we've got, there's good music and there's bad music, regardless of the lyrics. I could play some music on the piano that would irritate you. I'm not going to do that because we're in church, and I don't generally do that, but I have enough skill to at least know how to play some bad music, if I might say. But I'm not going to do that. That's not what I would use my music for. But there are styles of music that are irritating. There are styles of music that will cause you to tense up without words. So when we're talking about music, we're talking about the different aspects of music. There's the text, there's the melody, and there's styles. There's styles that are soothing, joyful, sad. Anybody think of a hymn that will bring tears to your eyes? You got one.
Dead as a kid, and still not as just as I am.
Just as I am. Okay. What's that? No. Some music evokes thoughtfulness. You quiet yourself. I remember when I went to school in college. It was chapel time. We'd come into chapel. And I always would notice, I'm very sensitive to music. I would always notice the music that was playing. Sometimes it was bombastic, da-da-da-da-da, you know, marching type music. Other times we would come in and I'd hear the pianist switch from a song and go into something very, like Near the Cross. And guess what happened? There's an auditorium that seats around 7,000. And there were probably about 6,000 people in there. And what, you know what the crowd did? Went down to a whisper. Usually when you're walking in, they're just people chattering. It's just this dull roar of the crowd. And here's this piano. But the piano would change its tune. And guess what happened? The whole mood of the place would change just from the tune. So there's a style. It can be a thoughtful song, a courageous, like stand up for Jesus. However, the melody needs to be appropriate. When we're talking about the text, if we're talking about singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, the melody should be appropriate. When I play Jesus Loves Me in a minor key, would you consider that appropriate? No. And you know what? There is not a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not play in a minor key. No, it doesn't. But God has made us in a certain way. We respond to music. And guess what? We all respond, not exactly identically, but we all respond generally in the same way. A minor key causes us, Minor keys are used in movies all the time. It's right as the bad guy comes out. Or right before something bad or foreboding is about to happen, you get this minor music, this theme music that comes in and makes you think, uh-oh, what's coming? Because we're wired by the same Creator. And listen carefully. The melody is absolutely important. Just as the text is important, so is the melody, because the melody must be appropriate to the text. It must fit. Did you know, and I say this without sacrilege, but you can sing Amazing Grace to the tune of Gilligan's Island. How many of you know the tune to Gilligan's Island? Raise your hand. Most of the kids don't, especially if you don't have a TV. No, you didn't. But it was a thing, and it wasn't Don Knotts, but it was another, some kind of funny guy. It was just slapstick, body humor, and it was, yeah, silly. But the tune of Gilligan's Island, dun da 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 bum ba dun dun da da dun 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 da 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 da. So, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. You say, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. No, it doesn't. That melody is not appropriate for the gravity or the gravitas of the text. The text is singing about the grace of God in salvation. That other tune is really sing-songy, flippant, cheerful. It's a cheerful tune. It's a very catchy tune. And as a tune by itself, there's nothing sinful about that tune. But there is something called appropriateness. And we do not sing Amazing Grace to the tune of Gilligan's Island. It's not appropriate. The style of music, the style of the melody and the music should enhance and agree with the text. If I'm singing about sin, I'm not singing that in a good way, but I'm singing about, you know, only a sinner. Dun, da, 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 dee, da, 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 da. Okay, we think about that tune that goes along. We're singing about how I was a sinner, but we're saved by grace. A lot of times you'll see music that when it talks about one thing, it's got a tune, and then it switches kind of to a happier tune. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. A happier tune. So the melody, the style there of the melody should be appropriate. It should enhance and agree with the text. Now, I'm going to finish here. I'm going to give you just a couple of points here, and we'll come back to this next week. There's the third aspect I want to see. There's the text, the melody, and rhythm. If the text targets the mind, the melody targets the spirit, and the rhythm targets what? No, don't say that. You're using that in a sinful term. Let's say the body. That's better. Okay, I want to, because rhythm is not bad. If you don't have rhythm, you don't have music. You know what the rhythm is to music? It's the grid work. It's the grid work on which the music fits. It's the rules. It's the boundaries. That's what rhythm is. If there's no rhythm, in fact, this is the thing when I teach kids piano, I have to teach them, use a metronome. What's a metronome? You know what a metronome is? It's simply a beat. Click, 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 click. But what is it? It's a rule. And they have to play the piece according to the rule. If they don't, and all of you kids who have taken piano from me, And anybody that has taken piano, no, it goes like this. I'll start playing. Let's say they're going to play Jesus Loves Me without a metronome or without paying attention to the rules. It goes, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Got that part really good. You know, and I mean, and I laugh. And when I teach kids, I say, we don't talk like this, do we? And they look at me and they laugh. And of course we don't talk like that. But that's the way you're playing. Go home and use your metronome. Okay? Make sure it's keeping the time. So the rhythm, really the grid work, the framework of the piece, the structure on which the piece sits, as far as its musicality, the rhythm. And the rhythm targets the body. It absolutely targets the body. And that's by design. This is nothing, I'm not talking about something that's sinful. I'm just talking about the way God designed music. And rhythm will target the body. When you listen to John Philip Sousa, what part of your body moves? Your foot. You know the O-tapping music, you know, the Stars and Stripes Forever, or dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And, or you want to clap your hands or snap your fingers, it has a physical effect. Okay? The rhythm, it targets the body. Rhythm, there's balance, and there's also imbalance. We call those dotted notes in music. There's syncopation. There's balance, there's imbalance, there's also speed or tempo. Tempo goes right along with rhythm. Do you know how to increase tension in music? How do they do it? Turn up the speed. Turn up the speed. I'd play it for you right now on the piano, but I can't. Laura could do it. But the part of the where the left hand is playing the octave, da 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 da, that part. What is the name of that song? Yeah, is that that's the first movement, right? Can you play that? Da, 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 dun, 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 dun. Can you play that? Play it for me. Listen to this. This is part of this piece, and right in the middle of the piece, it goes like this. No, don't play it so sloppy. Slow it down a little bit and make sure I hear the left hand. I don't play any pedal. Go ahead. Stop. That's good. Okay. I think Laura plays it better. You better practice that. Anyway, I used to be able to play it. There's the chords in the right hand. You get but the left hand is going dun 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 dun, and the right hand is building through these minor chords. But the pace is just is kind of frenetic. And what are you doing? You're building tension. Tension in music is built through speed. I speed up the song, and guess what? It becomes more tense. And that's just a physiological effect on the body. Rhythm affects the body. Now, what's really wonderful about music is that music affects the whole person. Do you see this? Music affects the mind. It affects the spirit, the emotions, the attitudes. It even affects the body. And I'm going to stop right here.